I'm happy to be here this morning to share with you the Word of God. My name is John Magezi, and I've been preaching all my life. That's what I've been doing, praise the Lord. And today I want to talk about, I have a wife over in Africa with 4 children. I want to talk about how you can change your seasons, I'm going to talk about changing your season, amen. Many people I know want to change their seasons, want to change their circumstances, and the Bible also says that God wants also to change your circumstances. Daniel said God changes seasons and times when Daniel interpreted the dream for King Nebuchadnezzar. He had this dream, and he wanted to know the interpretation, and Daniel prayed to the Lord, and God revealed to him the interpretation of that dream, that dream, that model he saw. Daniel said God changes seasons and times. So God is able to change your season and your time. That's what I want to talk about this morning. God wants your life to become better and better. We can look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says there that the path of the righteous is a shining lamp which shines brighter and brighter. Amen. If you have seen Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, you can read it out for me. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. What does it say in your Bible? Somebody found the scripture? Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4, chapter 18. The path of the just is a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. God wants your path to shine more and more. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Things become better and better. And he wants your circumstances to change. He wants your season to change. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We can also look at another scripture in the book of Joshua chapter 13, verse 7. If you have seen it, Joshua chapter 13, starting from verse 1, what does your Bible say? Joshua chapter 13, I hope my accent comes through very well. Amen. I was preaching in one church somewhere in New Mexico, and the mother of my friend, I was talking about the covenant of God, and he said, what was the preacher talking about? The contract. Praise the Lord. So I hope my accent comes through. What does Isaiah chapter 13 from verse 1? I mean Joshua chapter 13 from verse 1. Let's also read there very quickly. Joshua chapter 13 from verse 1. God was speaking to Joshua and was saying certain words. Can somebody read us Joshua chapter 13 from verse 1? Amen. Joshua was old, advanced in years. He had grown old. And the Lord told him, you are old and advanced in years, but there remains still much land which you need to possess. Amen. Joshua had been able to possess some land. He had been fighting to get this land, and possibly he had gotten tired, and he wanted to stay where he was at the moment. And God told him, you are old, you are advanced in years, but there's still much land out there you need to possess. Amen?
Amen?
The Lord was encouraging him, don't stay where you are. You go up and possess more what? More land. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. There's more out there. There's too much more land there which you need to possess. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3, there's another scripture I want also to talk about, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3. When I'm talking about changing your season, Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you, verse 2, and the Lord spoke unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. Amen? God was encouraging them to take another step, praise the Lord. Amen? To move forward. You have been on this mountain long enough. There's more out there, praise the Lord. Amen? So God wants to change your season. The Bible has said, the path of the righteous is a shining light, which shines brighter and what? And brighter. Amen? brighter and brighter. God wants your life to shine brighter and brighter. You know, when God called Abraham to come from Ur of the Chaldees, he was accompanied by his father Terah and his nephew Lot. Amen? So they are now going to the land of Canaan, the land which was God was going to show him. Then they made a stopover at Haran. And his father decided to stay in Haran, and he died in Haran. He didn't continue on to go in the promised land, praise the Lord. He settled in Haran. He said, this is good enough for me. I'm going to settle here. I don't want to fight anymore. Amen? So his father, Terah, died in Haran. Hallelujah. But God wanted them to go even farther than Haran, to enter the promised land. So God wants to change your season to bring you into a broader land, a more wealthy place. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, how you can have your season changed. Amen? Amen? Now, when it comes to changing seasons, many people are looking to God. They are saying, God, change my season. They are just seated hoping that God is going to change their season. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen? Many people are seated idly waiting on God to change their seasons. But seasons don't change because of passage of time. Seasons don't change because of passage of time. Amen? Amen? You can be in a season a long time, but it doesn't mean, because you have been there a long time, it doesn't mean that season is going to change. Sometimes we think that seasons are going to change because of a long time has passed. Amen? For seasons to change, you have got to activate your faith in order to change your season. You have got to activate your faith. Amen? You have got to apply your faith in order for God to change your season. You can stay in a season for a very long time without that season changing if you do not apply your faith. Amen? And the day you apply your faith, you may be shocked to see the season changing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One man who changed this season was David. David was one man who managed to change his season. He was just a shepherd boy looking after his father's sheep. Really, not many people knew about him. They knew somehow that he played the harp, praise the Lord. But he was in that season of looking after his father's sheep. Then one day, his father sent him with some food to take to his brothers, who were three of his eldest brothers, were in the army of King Saul, fighting the Philistines. So the boy David went to the battlefront with some food he had taken for his brothers. Amen? And when David arrived on the battleground, he was expecting to hear cries of war-battle soldiers fighting the Philistines. Instead, he was hearing everything quiet. He was saying, what's going on? Then one man, the Goliath, the giant, was shouting across the valley from another hill, saying, and you servants of Saul, come and we fight. He was challenging Israel on one-on-one fight, praise the Lord. Amen? But no one in Israel was willing to go and challenge Goliath. David said, what's going on? They told him that man has been coming here 40 days. That day was the 40th day. 40th day, amen? When Goliath, the giant, was shouting at Israel for one man to come and fight, amen? Saying, if you win us, we are going to be your servants. If I win that man, you are going to be our servants, amen? But everyone was afraid of Goliath, the giant. David asked, what's going on? They told him, they said, this man has been coming for 40 days, challenging us to fight one-on-one, amen? Hallelujah. But the king has said, if anybody can go and fight him, if anybody can go and fight that man, he's going to make his family tax exempt, tax free. Amen. Going to give him the king's daughter. Hallelujah. And he's going to give him a lot of riches. That sounded good in David's ears. Amen. The reward sounded good. So David asked again, can you tell me again, what has the king promised to the man who's going to kill Goliath, the giant? Amen. They told him again what the king has said. Amen? The king has said, if anybody can go and kill Goliath the giant, he's going to make his family tax-free, tax-exempt. Hallelujah. Going to give him the king's daughter. He's going to be son-in-law to the king. Give him a lot of riches. Hallelujah. Amen? So his eldest brother was called Eliab, was angry with David. I know you are very naughty. Why are you asking? So that they tell you again. What do you want? You want to go and fight that man? Why are you asking? So that they repeat to you what the king said. Hallelujah. David asked the third time to tell him what the king had promised to the man who was going to kill Goliath. Hallelujah. You know, faith is always motivated by rewards. The pastor has just been talking about it. Amen. Hallelujah. When we give, what they call giving by faith, the Bible says by faith Abel gave to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Amen? That's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11. The difference between the gift of Abel and the gift of Cain was that Abel gave to God by faith. By faith, Abel gave to God a more excellent sacrifice. Abel had faith. Amen? In what he was doing. The other one did not have faith in what he was doing. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, concerning giving, what God is interested in is the faith part of our giving. Hallelujah. Amen. God is not broke, but when he sees the faith part of our giving, that's what makes him happy. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you give with expectation, that is the faith part of your giving. When you are expecting God to fulfill his word. That's why you see, if you read the Bible carefully, whenever God told people to give, he told them exactly what he was going to give them back. Whenever God told people to give, in the next sentence, he told them what was going to what? To give them back. He said, give, and it shall be given back to you. A large measure, shaken together, running over, shall people give unto your bosom. Hallelujah. He said, bring the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be food in my house. See if I will not open the what? Windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing, so that you don't have room to put it. Hallelujah. He said in the book of Proverbs, honor the Lord with the first fruits so that your barns will be filled plenty. Amen? Amen? So whenever God told people to give, he told them what he was going to give them back because he wanted them to give by faith. Amen? God is a God of promise. Give expecting from God what he was going to give them back. So if you don't give in faith, if you don't give with expectation, then you are not giving in faith. Amen? You know, the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to God. God is not interested in your money because he has it all, but he wants your faith. He wants to see your faith in your giving. Praise the Lord. So David asked, what did the king say he's going to give to the person who's going to kill Goliath? Amen? So they took David before the king, and David said, let no man be afraid because of that man. I'm going to fight him. Let no man's heart be afraid because of Goliath. I'm going to fight him. Hallelujah. The king said, you cannot fight him. You are just a youth. David said, I'll be able to fight Goliath. One day I was looking after my sheep, my father's sheep. A lion came, tried to steal some of the sheep. I went and fought it, took away the lamb from the mouth. When it turned against me, I killed it. Another time it was the bear. When the king heard that testimony, he said, Maybe, hallelujah. Said, go, well, let God be with you. Tried to put his armor on David. David said, it doesn't fit properly. I don't feel comfortable. I've got my way of doing things. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Then David went to face Goliath. Goliath was very angry when they saw it was just a young man coming to fight him. He was expecting another, at least someone in his size. He said, what, am I a dog? Someone coming with just sticks to fight me. Hallelujah. Why are you despising me so much? Goliath felt so angry to see just a young boy. The Bible says was very youthful. Moreover, his countenance was somehow looking in a certain way. So Goliath felt so much despised. He said, you come on. Today I'm going to kill you. David also spoke. David said, you come with me against me with spears, but I come against you in the name of the living God whom you have despised. Today I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut off your head. I'm going to give your body to the birds. Everybody is going to know that there is a God in Israel.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This man, I'm telling you, changed his season that day, David. David went ahead and killed Goliath that day, and things changed. You know what happened when David killed Goliath? When David killed Goliath, first of all, I believe that everybody thought Goliath was going to kill David. Amen? I think many people looked away when they saw David about to confront Goliath. Amen? Hallelujah. But when they saw David crying with the head of Goliath on the sword, on Goliath's sword, hallelujah, everybody was excited. The Philistines ran away. They followed the Philistines. They killed them. The king asked the commander of the army, was called Abner, whose son is that one? Whose son is that one? The commander said, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know whose son is. I don't know. Amen? Hallelujah. The crown prince, Jonathan, was so impressed. His heart was knit with David. The Bible says he loved David more than even he loved, as he loved his soul. Amen? Took off his robe, gave it to David. The king said, David is not going back home. He's going to stay in the palace with me. He's not going back home. Hallelujah. The king made David the commander of the group which went to war, the commander of his war battalion. Hallelujah. Remember, this was still a young man. Amen. Women started composing songs about David, saying, Saul has killed thousands. David had killed 10,000. David became an immediate celebrity, instant celebrity, mega superstar in Israel. Hallelujah. I believe every single young lady who was not married started praying for God, for Lord, David is the right person. David, Lord, David is the right person. Hallelujah. Amen. And believe me, even his pocket changed. The season of David changed immediately that day. David started sitting with the king, started sitting on the army council. Praise the Lord. Why did it change instantly? David could have taken 40 years possibly to reach, going through the ranks and file of the army. Possibly could have taken another 40 years. Amen? Hallelujah. Because he used his faith to kill Goliath the giant. Hallelujah. That's why the season of David changed instantly. You know, God has called us to be great. When God called Abraham, he told him, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to turn you into a great nation. Have you noticed that when God called Abraham, he told him he was going to make him great? Mm. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know some great people here in the U.S., some people you know that someone is great. How many of you, you know somebody in the U.S. you know who's great? Hallelujah. His name is always on the television, is always in the news. Hallelujah, is always in the newspapers. You hear about those people. That's what God called Abraham to be. God told Abraham, I'm going to make you great. Amen?
Amen.
So Abraham never made himself great. It was God who made him what?
Great.
I'm going to turn you into a great nation. Amen? Amen. And the Bible says that people who know their God shall do exploits. The people who know their God shall do what?
Exploits.
God wants you to do exploits. He wants you to become good, to do mighty things for him. Amen?
Amen?
To bring glory to his name so that his name can be magnified.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus went to Nazareth in his home country, the Bible says he never did any mighty miracles, only prayed for a few sick people and they were healed of simple sicknesses. Why does the Bible mention that? Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, the Bible says he never did any very big thing which could bring glory to what? To God, because the people never believed on him. Amen? Hallelujah. Because there are things out there which could have brought more glory to God, which Jesus could have done. Praise the Lord. So God wants us to have this mindset that he wants us to be great. He wants us to do mighty things. We can do these things. That's why he has given us the gift of faith. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible calls faith a gift. He says you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not your own. It's a gift of God. Hallelujah. And we know that God has given everybody the ability to get faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. And God has given us the word of God. And here in America, you have simplified everything because you have the word of God on very many things, iPhone, iPod, whatever. Amen? Hallelujah. Tablet. The word of God can be accessed through many, many ways. Not like in the Bible days when there are these manuscripts and they're only kept in the temple. Now the word of God is everywhere. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's why God has given us faith, in order to overcome the challenges in this life, in order to move away the mountains which we face. That's why he gave us this gift of faith, so that we can deal with the challenges. We can have our seasons changed, praise the Lord. We can change our circumstances. And if we don't apply our faith, amen? Hallelujah. If we let our faith to stay there dormant, then these circumstances remain. And now we start crying to the Lord. And the Lord says, like he told, you know, when Moses and the children of Israel had gone away from Egypt and they reached the Red Sea, and Pharaoh was following after them with the armies of Egypt, Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord told Moses, "Why are you crying unto me?" That's what the Lord told Moses. "Why are you crying unto me? What's that in your hand? I've already given you something which you can use." Amen? The staff. You can use the staff to make a way in the what? The Red Sea. But God told Moses, "Why are you crying unto me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Hallelujah. Amen? So God has given us something. He has given us faith, and this faith can change our circumstances. If we know how to use it, if we decide to use it, it can change our seasons, like the season of David was changed when David used his faith to kill Goliath. Amen? Amen. David was a very young man when he became one of the commanders in Israel. He was a very young man when he started sitting on the military council, a very young man. Amen? In fact, as far as age goes, he did not qualify to occupy those positions of responsibility. Amen? But his faith changed his season and gave him promotion. Because he applied his faith against Goliath, things changed. Praise the Lord. And when you apply your faith, you are going to change your season. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some people need to know how to apply their faith. First of all, you apply your faith by speaking. I like the emphasis in this church. Your pastors know this very well. Sister Shirley, when she was leading us in worship, she was leading us in these confessions of faith, and also the pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice when David went to attack Goliath, he spoke words of faith. He said, "I'm going to kill this giant. I'm going to cut off your head. Today I'm going to give your body to the birds of the air." Everybody is going to know there's a God of Israel. Definite bold words, not if God is willing, if whatever. He said, "I'm going to do this in the name of Jesus." David knew it had to be the will of God. He was very sure about it. How can a man come and defy the armies of Israel? Hallelujah. So David was very definite in what he said. In order to change your season, you must change your language. You must start speaking another language and stop speaking the worldly language. Hallelujah. You must start speaking the language of faith. You must start boldly declaring things, calling things which are not as though they are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. You may not be seeing any way out, but if you want your seasons to change, you must be like David. David said, "I am going to kill you, Goliath. I'm going to cut off your head." Amen? The Bible does not say it was God who told him to say those words. No, he was just speaking words of faith. "Today I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut off your head. Everybody is going to know there's a God in Israel." So to change your season, that's the first thing you need to check, to change your language. Amen? Amen. Start speaking the language of faith. Like David spoke the language. It was a very fearful time. This man was like half the size of the other giant. The Bible says the giant was 6 feet and a span. I don't know, a span is this a span? It was like 6 feet and a span. He had, my King James Version says his spear was like the head of a weaver's beam. Hallelujah. Amen. But David started speaking words of faith. He said that he told the king, "Let not anyone's heart be troubled because of this man. I'm going to fight him." Yeah. Amen? Yeah. "Let no one's heart be troubled because of this man. I'm going to fight him." He was very confident in what he was saying, very bold in what he was saying. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's why God gave him the victory. He spoke the language of faith. So that's the first step. You need to change your language. You need to put away the language of fear, the language of doubt, and start speaking boldly what the word of God says. I'm going to do this in Jesus' name. God is with me. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. If God is for me, who can be against me? I'm going to do this in the name of Jesus. When you are seeing nothing, no light at the end of the tunnel, yet you are speaking words of faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. David spoke the language of faith. That was the difference between him and all those generals and brigadiers who were on that battleground. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He spoke another language. Notice also the devil, because also Goliath spoke, the devil also has his own language. The devil tried to speak to you. The devil tries, there are some dreams and visions which are from the devil. Do you know that there are some dreams and visions which are from the devil? Some people spend a long time. For me, when I wake up in the morning and I realize this was the devil trying to discourage me in the dream, I just throw it away and I just run on. Amen? The devil tried to attack you in dreams and visions by trying to discourage you, by trying to show you failure in your dreams. Amen? That's the language of the devil. Praise the Lord. But you need to have the language of faith. We having the same spirit of faith, as it is written, I believe they have spoken. We also believe and what? We speak. If you are really believing God, you must have something to say. Amen? So David spoke a language of faith. David also had corresponding actions of faith. This is also very, very important. Amen? Apart from speaking, we need to have corresponding actions. Corresponding actions. Because the Bible says faith without works is what? Is dead. Our actions must correspond with our faith. Amen? David went on to meet this Goliath. He went on to confront Goliath. Picked up the stones. These were his actions. Hallelujah. And God backed him. And I want you to notice concerning the action of David, it was a radical action he took. Come to think about it, if you are to look at it closely. Because this was a death and life situation. Amen? It was a fight unto death. One of them had to die. Either David or who? Goliath. There was no in between. There was no that. One of them had to die, either David or Goliath. David knew this very, very well. He knew the stakes. They are very, very high. A radical action. Very radical action for this young man to go and fight Goliath. Some people, concerning their corresponding actions, some people really don't go far enough. Let's look at the book of James, where the Bible talks about the works of faith. The book of James. James chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. The devil also believes and trembles. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou have faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Hallelujah. Now here they are saying faith without works is dead. And they have given us two examples of people whose faith had works. Amen? One is Abraham. They have said by faith, Abraham showed works by offering up his son Isaac. Praise the Lord. Amen? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Amen? Abraham showed God that he had faith. by offering or by being willing to offer up his son Isaac on the altar. This was another radical action, if you had to look at it more closely. Offering your son or your daughter, if God asks you to give him your son or your daughter, kill your son or your daughter for him. How many of you would think that is a radical action? God is asking you for a very large thing. Amen? In fact, the angel told Abraham, when he stopped Abraham, he said, now God knows that you fear him, seeing that you have not withheld your son from him. Even God knew it was, God was asking him something very difficult. God knew that he was asking Abraham to do something very what? Very difficult. Amen? But Abraham was ready to do it. In fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, Abraham received his son back in the figure of resurrection, because as far as Abraham was concerned, he had killed who? Isaac. Amen? He had made up his mind to go through with it when God stopped him. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible says he received him back in the figure of resurrection, because actually Abraham believed that after killing him, God was going to raise him back from the dead. Praise the Lord. So this was also something radical which God was demanding from Abraham, sacrificing your son, something very big. And Abraham was really willing to go through with it. He was willing to do it. It was very difficult. He could have been called a murderer by other people. Then he had waited a very long time for this son to come by, many years for the promise to be fulfilled. Even though he had not waited a long time, nobody would want to kill his son. Amen. Anyway, amen. Praise the Lord. So it was really a very big thing. And the Bible says when he did it, God did something different. God swore to him. You know, God does not need to swear to anybody, because his word is good enough. Amen? God does not need to swear. In fact, at first, God just promised Abraham, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to multiply you. Amen? But after Abraham did this, if you go back to the book of Genesis, God swore to him that surely in blessing, I'm going to bless you. In multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. Amen? What caused God to swear to Abraham these things? Because of what Abraham was ready to do. Praise the Lord. But what I want you to notice is that this was a radical action. Another example they have talked about, someone who showed his faith by his works, is for Rahab the harlot. Verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Amen? This was another person who showed radical faith by receiving these messengers. Amen? She put her life on the line. That was a treasonable act. Had the king found these messengers on the grounds of Rahab, who knows what was going to happen to Rahab? Death sentence. Amen? So by Rahab hiding the spies somewhere on her premises, amen, she was putting her life on the line. Amen? And she was also aware of the stakes. Praise the Lord. She knew that if the spies were to be found on her ground, she was going to be killed. But her faith caused her to take this drastic step. She had heard about the God of Israel, what God had done behind the other side of the river. Amen? How God had defeated the kings of Og and certain other kings the other side of the river. And she had started believing in this God. Amen? Praise the Lord. And when the chance came her way, she believed that this God was going to deliver her from this problem. So she took this risk and hid these spies. Praise the Lord. Amen? And God backed her. First of all, they did not find the spies on her ground. And when the children of Israel entered Jericho, she was saved, her and her family. Amen? Of course, I know she gave up the practice of being a harlot, and she became a dear lady of the Lord, because she gave her life to the Lord. Amen? 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 But her action was also radical. Many people in the Bible, when you look at the actions of faith they took, they had some cost to them. They had some radicalness which we see in the action they took. Look also with me in the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Praise God. Luke chapter 5. Let's look at Luke chapter 5. From verse 17, the Bible says, "It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with the palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his coach into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, your sins are forgiven you." Praise the Lord. These people brought a sick person, their friend, most probably, to Jesus. There were four people holding this sick man on a bed. They were bringing him. Jesus was in this house preaching. Many people had gathered. They were inside the lounge, the sitting room. They, I think, outside also. They were trying to get to Jesus, but they realized they could not get through the crowds. Nobody was moving an inch. Amen? I think they are saying, make us way. Nobody was saying, we also want to see Jesus. So they said, what can we do? What can we do? We have to get this sick person to Jesus. Our friend needs to be healed. Then they said, no, we must see that we get this sick person to Jesus. They got probably a ladder. They started getting this sick person on top of the roof of this house, which did not belong to them. Amen? That was also radical. That was also radical enough because the man could have dropped down and died. I don't know how tall was the house, but somehow they managed to get him on top. Then they started pulling off the roof. Amen?
Amen.
They started pulling off the roof of the house, which did not what? Belong to them. Amen? I believe the owner of the house was standing with Jesus there in the sitting room on the front row because he was the one who was hosting Jesus, wondering, now, who's pulling off my roof? Who is that? Who's pulling off my roof? Hallelujah. Amen? Possibly because of fearing what Jesus, how Jesus would react, he tried to keep his composure, but he was saying, after this service, those people are going to see me. Take them to court. Hallelujah. But the men never cared. They started pulling off this roof. They started pulling off this roof. Lowered the sick person before Jesus. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, they never told him, they never even said, Jesus, just their faith was so visible. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Outrageously so visible. Because how could people go and pull off a roof of a house which did not belong to them unless they really had faith in God?
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Your sins have been forgiven you." Mm-hmm. I mean, because their faith was so obvious. God wants to see your faith. Mm. Amen? He wants to see your faith. Amen? Your job is to show him and prove to him that you really have faith. He wants to see your faith. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are walking throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those people whose heart is perfect towards them. Do you know that God is looking for people to help? God's eyes are moving, looking for people to help.
Hallelujah.
Go, Boston. Reading, Andover, zooming, amen? They are zooming, said, is there somebody worth of help? Zooming, hallelujah. Amen?
Amen. I'm here, Jesus.
That's what the prophet told the other king. He told him, you have done foolishly, for the eyes of the Lord are going throughout the earth to show himself strong,
right,
looking for people to help.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
God is looking for people so that he can help them who really have faith in God. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen?
So when Jesus saw their faith, he said, your sins have been forgiven you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Some people complain, how can he say he has the power to forgive sins? Who is he? Who does he call himself? Says, if you see that I've got power, he told the sick person, rise up and walk and go. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he saw their faith. God wants to see your faith. Some people, their faith is invisible. Some have... the Bible has told us about the devil's type of faith. He believes that God is there and trembles. Do you know the devil also believes that there's a God up there and only trembles? Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible has said. That the demons also believe that there's God out there and they only what? tremble. No acts of faith at all. Praise the Lord. If you want to change your seasons, amen, you must sit down. Habakkuk said, I like the way Habakkuk put it. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Habakkuk said, the just shall live by his faith. Let's look at Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. Can somebody read us Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. What does he say? The just shall live by what?
His faith.
In the New Testament, they say the just shall live by faith. But I like the way Habakkuk put it, the just shall live by his faith. Amen? You need to sit down and decide, how am I going to use my faith in God? How am I going to show God that I've got faith? Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Because the just shall live by his faith. But you must have corresponding actions. You need to have corresponding actions to show God that, God, here is my faith. I have faith. Here is it. My words show I have got faith in God. My actions show I have got faith in God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Because the Bible has said the eyes of God are moving throughout the earth to show himself strong on people who have got faith. Praise the Lord. David showed God that he had faith. The words he spoke. And going, putting his life on the line, going to confront Goliath. You can't do that unless you really have faith in God.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
These people showed they had faith in God. They removed someone's roof, and it was very clear to God that these people have got faith in God. Jesus said, your sins have been forgiven you. Abraham showed he had faith in God because he was willing to. He had got his knife, took a deep breath, lifted his knife to plunge it in the boy when the angel stopped him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Very clear to God that this man had faith in God. Rahab the harlot had faith in God. He knew the wrath of the king. In that time, there were no courts, no appeals, no whatever. Even the king was the law. He was the last man. Everything he did, it, the judge and the, and what, amen? You couldn't appeal. There were no hearings. There were no depositions. Amen? No defense lawyers, no. So by this lady, Rahab the harlot, when he hid these spies somewhere in his house, she knew that she was putting her life on the line, and she said, God, I'm trusting in you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
But if you don't come through for me, I'm going to be martyred.
Mm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen?
Amen? She had bold faith.
And
God helped her.
Mm-hmm.
In the whole city of Jericho, imagine, only a harlot was saved in that whole city. They were nice old ladies who used to give people cups of tea. Amen? When they were passing by, everybody saying, how nice are those ladies? They perished in Jericho. Only a harlot was saved because she believed in God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen? You know, there's something wonderful about faith, because even you become righteous before God, God stops seeing you, seeing your sins if you move in faith. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's why Jesus, when they brought this man who was sick of a palsy, before Jesus told him to stand up and go, he first told him, your sins have been forgiven you. Amen. Do you notice that this man never asked Jesus that, forgive me of my sins? Did he ask Jesus to forgive him of his sins? Eh? First of all, I believe he had come to be healed of his sickness. He believed in Jesus. Jesus told him, your sins have been forgiven you. Possibly he was sick because of some sins he did, but Jesus told him, your sins have been forgiven you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's what it says in the book of James. Is anyone sick among you, let him call for the elders, let them pray for him, anointing with oil. The prayer of faith shall heal the sick. And if he has committed sins, there will be what?
Forgiven
him. Amen. If you believe God and you are sick, whatever is the cause, it doesn't matter. God will what? God will heal you. Amen?
Amen.
Despite what caused the sickness. Either you or nobody, God will go forward and heal you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
But all these people moved in radical faith. God helped them. The lady with the issue of blood, He had had this issue for a very long time, many years. Sold all his things to try to get treatment. He had become poor. That led with the issue of blood. And then when he heard about Jesus, said, "That's the man I've been waiting for all my life." Hallelujah. Now, she got out of bed. Remember, she was losing blood every day. So she must have been very weak. She must have also been very sleepy, because if you are anemic, if you are losing blood, you just want always to sleep all the what? All the time. But she got up, got her strength, dressed. She said, "I must go. I must go and meet that man." She went to the crusade. Now there were all this big crowd following Jesus. And most of them who were close to Jesus were men. Amen?
Amen.
The law of Moses did not permit her, because of her having an issue of blood, being in public. Because whosoever she touched became also unclean, according to the law of Moses. So this lady disregarded the law of Moses by going to that meeting. She also disregarded Jewish tradition. Women were not supposed to mingle freely with men in public places. Hallelujah. She pushed through to reach Jesus. Praise the Lord. That woman must have offended many people that day, because all these men were wondering, who's this pushing us? And they say, "Oh, it's a woman. And not only is it a woman, it's a woman with an issue of blood." Hallelujah. And everyone she touched became unclean. So many people were saying, "I need to go and wash so many times so that I can become clean again." This woman didn't care. She pushed through and touched the hem of the garment of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's why immediately Jesus felt power coming from him. He said, "Who touched me?" Peter said, "Everybody has touched you." Jesus said, "No. Somebody has touched me with a touch of faith."
Mm.
Amen? Somebody has touched me with a touch of faith. Who touched me? Peter said, "All of us have been touching. All of us have been pushing against you."
Yeah.
The touch of faith is very distinct with God.
Uh-huh.
Amen? God was seeing this lady getting out of bed, mustering all the strength she had, saying, "I have to reach Jesus." She was seeing this lady, God, making her way to the crusade, pushing through all these men cursing, these men doing, "What's wrong with this lady? What's wrong with her?" She didn't care. God was seeing all the effort she was putting in. That's why it was instant, automatically, the power went out of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
You know, if you touch God with a touch of faith, he knows, he notices.
He knows
that this person has touched me with a touch of faith.
Mm.
Praise the Lord.
Mm.
Amen?
God
wants us to use the gift he has given us, the faith, to remove the obstacles in our way.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
That's why he gave us faith in the first place. He knew what it was for. It is supposed to remove the obstacles, the challenges. Whenever you meet a challenge, you must understand this is an opportunity to take away this obstacle, to take away this challenge. Have you noticed the devil has also been intensifying attacks these days, intensifying attacks against us? We need also to intensify our faith in God. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
In order to do those exploits, we need to exercise great faith in God. We need to take large leaps of faith in God. Many times when it comes to releasing our faith, some of us are fearful. Stay back. Praise the Lord. We are not willing to get out of the boat. You know that Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water? But you know what other people, we are not told a lot about the other people who stayed in the boat. But those people did not walk on the water.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen?
Peter was able to walk on the what?
Water.
Took a leap of faith. Stepped out on the water.
Come on.
Walked on the water. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen?
I don't know about you, but in my heart, praise the Lord, I want to do great things before I leave here to go to the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
I'm a man of big dreams. I dream big things.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
You know, it's not easy to come from Uganda here to the U.S. It's a big challenge. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise God.
Hey.
God is faithful. When you move out in faith, he's going to back you.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. You need to learn to take large steps of faith. I've had some testimonies of people, and I've listened to some testimonies of people, and they have really challenged me so much. One time I had a testimony of a certain pastor here in the U.S. He was constructing this big sanctuary and they had run out of money. They had this big sanctuary, multi-million dollar facility they were building at their church, and money was not coming in. And the banks wanted to lend him money, but he didn't want to borrow money from the banks. He said, I don't want to be a servant of the Lord. I want to be what? To go what? To go slow. Hallelujah. He was believing God for the money. The money wasn't coming in. We are praying to God, God, bring in this money. This money wasn't coming in. Then one day, God gave him an idea. Yeah. Oh, he got an idea. God gave it to him. He told his minister, he said, you know what? What are you going to do? They had on their building fund $700,000, but they needed, I think, more to put on the roof, far more money, millions of dollars. So he said, you know what? God has given me a plan. We're going to get this money and give it as an offering. There was another church which was in a building, what? Building situation. And seed faith. Hallelujah. And of course, his minister said, Pastor, how can we do such a thing? It is as if you're going to jump from the frying pan into the what?
Fire.
Into the fire. Hallelujah. The pastor said, no, that's what I feel we should do. And he says, when they did it, somehow, supernaturally, money started coming in. And we were able to complete that building debt-free. And when I had that testimony, I said, how can someone do that? Amen?
Amen.
That was their faith. It was that just remember shall live by what? His faith. Amen? Then I had another testimony here still of another pastor here in the U.S. Because I like listening to people's testimonies. They encourage my faith. Amen? Hallelujah. And they wanted to buy this. There was this big warehouse which was on sale. They never had any money to pay for the warehouse. They bidded for the warehouse. They got then there was a supermarket chain, a big supermarket chain here in the U.S. who wanted to buy the same warehouse. For them, they had their money ready, cash. They were willing to pay for the warehouse, cash for that warehouse. But because the pastors had bidded first, they gave them first opportunity to pay for the what? The building. But the supermarket chain said, if they can't pay for us, we are signing a check the next day. Hallelujah. So these pastors are saying, Lord, what can we do? What can we do? How? We need money to pay for this warehouse. Then the husband told the wife that, you know what? I've got an idea. So they went, they borrowed $10,000 against their house. They put their house in as a collateral. And they never used this $10,000 to... They planted this $10,000 in another ministry. And they said, after a few weeks, they were there when the secretary came in excited. He said, I've never seen a check with so many zeros come in. I've never handled such a check with so many zeros. Hallelujah. God gave them that warehouse.
Mm.
All those testimonies, they found them challenging. And I said, how can someone do such a thing? Hallelujah.
Mm.
You know, the Bible talks about a cloud of witnesses. Have you read about the cloud of witnesses?
Yeah.
In the book of Hebrews 3:11, seeing that we have got a cloud of witnesses. Amen. I was sharing with the pastor one time how I went to the U.S. in Los Angeles. And I arrived at the airport at the U.S. I had $100 on me. And immigration at Los Angeles airport said, how long are you going to spend in the U.S.? Actually, I was going to attend a conference for 5 days in Anaheim Convention Center, which I had paid for when I was in Uganda. I had paid for the hotel for the 5 days. I had paid for the for those 5 days. They are giving me food and accommodation for the 5 days. But I wanted to spend 3 months in the U.S. preaching. Hallelujah. So when I arrived at the airport, they told me, the immigration, how long are you going to spend in the U.S.? I told them 3 months. Do you have relatives in the U.S., in Los Angeles, in California? I said, no. Do you know anybody in California? I said, no. They asked me, how much money do you have on you? I told them $100. They laughed. They said, do you know how much $100 can take you here in the U.S.? I told them I don't know. They told me one day. The next thing they told me that we are going to deport you. You don't have enough money to stay in the U.S. We are going to deport you. So they took me to this big room where there are so many groups of people who are also waiting to be deported. Amen? Now, when I was sitting in that very large room, I could see men come in with their pistols, their immigration people taking groups that your plane is ready. They were moving them out to go and board them on their plane to take them back wherever they had come from. There seemed to be people from like old tribes, old tongues who had been put in that place. Amen? This was many years ago. So I had a copy. I'd written a certain book called Knowing the Secret of God's Power. By the way, I've got another book online. I couldn't bring some copies. It is called Spiritual Laws by John Magezi. You can look it up on Amazon.com. So they had taken home this book of mine, a copy of my book, and my passport, and my ticket, and they had put them on the counter, I think, where they are putting the tickets of people they are deporting. All of a sudden, I saw a very large man. He looked like a giant entering the room. He was pacing the room, walking up and down, pacing the room. I had not seen him before. Then I saw him go to this counter. I saw him then look at my book. I saw him pick it up. I saw him read it where I was seated a distance. I saw him starting smiling, reading the book. Then looking around, then seeing me reading the book. Then I saw him get this book and my passport and my ticket. He came to me. He told me, I downloaded this book. I said, yes. He told me, John 3:16. I rushed, saying, God so loved the world that he gave his so begotten son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He said, enter the U.S. Hallelujah. I gave me back my documents. Now I land on the streets of Los Angeles. These cars are going passed by, but still I am having my $100. Amen? Now to take a shuttle bus from the airport to Anaheim Convention Center, where the meeting was, I had to pay $14. So I got this bus. It took me to Anaheim Convention Center. Remember, the meeting was for 5 days. So $100, take away $14. You can do the math to see how much I was remaining with. Now I was in the meeting, nice food, nice place. Preachers were preaching the word of God. The devil was telling me, things are nice, but you just wait until the 5 days are what? Are over. That's when you're going to start seeing stars. Amen? I told him, I don't bring those things now. Praise the Lord. I'll come to it when the time comes. The devil kept on trying to make me anxious. I was fighting the anxiety, the fear. So during, I think it was the third day, it was an evening service, the preacher stood up, said, before I preach, I feel the Lord leading me. People need miracles to plant a seed of $65. I said, who told that pastor? Even I had some money on me. Amen? Because... Then they started passing the offering plate. I started debating in my mind, should I give away this $65? Then I said, Lord, eventually because they are passing the offering plates very quickly. I said, Lord, those people at the airport told me $100 can take me only through 1 day. I have even less than $100. I'm going to put all my trust in you. I counted the $65. I put it in the offering basket. I saw the offering basket disappear. I felt sick inside. I said, I don't know what I've done. This, whether I've committed suicide or what, I don't know. Because my last insurance is $65. The meeting went on. Amen? But God started doing miracles. At the end of the meeting, there was an elderly lady. She was even living in an assisted living place. They were not allowing her to have visitors in that place. Moreover, I was a man. She put an elderly lady, took me there over the weekend. On Sunday, she drove me to a certain church. God started moving. On Tuesday of the next week, I was standing on a pulpit preaching. In that meeting where I was preaching, there was another preacher, a pastor from another church who had visited, said, you are preaching for me on Sunday. It went on and on, miracle after miracle. I went back home loaded because I believed on my God. You know, the Bible talks about is it Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that the fire never hurt them because they believed on their God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Something happens when you believe on God. The life of faith is very exciting, and it's the life God wants us to live. It's the life God has designed for us to live. You know how many times the Bible says the just shall live by faith in the Bible? In the New Testament, it's about 4 times. When the Bible says that just shall live by faith. Another scripture says, for we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. You know, many times we want everything to be in place, everything to be okay, everything to be... But God designed this life knowingly that's going to be a life of faith. Amen? And if you don't learn how to live by faith, then I don't know how you manage to operate with God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the just shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. God wants us to see our faith. Sometimes our faith is not deep enough. Sometimes the corresponding actions I've been talking about are not deep enough. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus told Peter, go to the deep and get a catch. Peter said, we have fished the whole night. Jesus told him, go to the deep and get a catch. Peter did not want to go. He said, that's your word, because he had spent the whole night fishing, not even got one fish. He was disappointed, was discouraged. He said, that's your word. Let me go back to the deep. And he got a lot of fish. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God wants us to extend our faith, to stretch our faith if we want to see these big miracles. Amen? He wants us to go to the deep end of our faith, to put away fear, because the devil always tries to bring fear, makes us afraid. What if God doesn't come through for you? But God wants us to go to the deep end of our faith. Amen? In order to overcome these big challenges which confront us, sometimes we have to extend ourselves. I've told you about some people in the Bible who extended themselves and got miracles because they showed God their faith. Amen? Amen? God wants us to go out of our comfort zones. Amen? Go out of the boat. Step out by faith. Praise the Lord. Amen? So that we can go into bigger areas. We can go into broader places. Praise the Lord. We need to go out of our comfort zone. Go out of the boat. Praise the Lord. And see God taking us to higher places. Amen? Amen. And reach those places of greatness, because I've told you when God called Abraham, and remember, God gives Abraham as our example to follow, example of faith. Follow Abraham. Look at the rock from where you are hewn, the pit from where you are dug. Look at Abraham. God says, I called him alone and blessed him. Praise the Lord. Amen. We need also to learn to step out, to extend our faith. Praise the Lord. Like David. David, you saw how David changed his season. He extended himself and changed his season. God wants to change our seasons, but we must activate our faith. We must release our faith by the words we are saying, by our actions. We must start taking on bold actions. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then we are going to see God backing us up. But if we are full of fear, We will never see that hand of God we want to see. We will never see those miracles we want to see. Amen? Those miracles take place when we extend ourselves, like that lady, the widow of Zarephath. When the prophet came, he had been, during that famine in the time of Elisha, during that famine. Amen? Elijah, the time of Elijah. And I believe she was praying to God that, God, help me. God, I don't want to starve to death. God, I know you. And then this prophet comes, and she's surprised. She said, I had some hope, but as I don't see the prophet carrying any sack of food on his back. Amen? The prophet came in, but he was also empty-handed. Said, God, I thought now that since the prophet is coming now, I'm going to be delivered, but there's nothing on the back of the prophet. And what the prophet told disturbed her even more. He said, give me your last plate of food. And then this lady took on the challenge. She extended herself, and God did for her a miracle. Throughout the time of famine, she was able to live well or have all the food. And later, when her son died, God raised the son from the dead. Praise the Lord. So let's learn to extend ourselves. Let's learn to get into this supernatural miracle-working power of God. And you can only enter into this supernatural miracle-working power of God if you are willing to activate your faith, if you are willing to go all the way, if you are willing to go to the deep end of your faith, amen, and get out of the shallow end, praise the Lord, amen, then you can see miracle after miracle. Hallelujah. Then you can also be put in the cloud of witnesses who did great things because of your faith in God. How many of you want to be put in Hebrews chapter 11? Amen. So and so did this. He did this. Amen. She did this. She was able to do this. She was able to build a university in Massachusetts. Praise the Lord, because of faith in God. Yeah, God wants us to do great things. That's why I said, he told Abraham, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to turn you into a great nation. Amen? Amen? God is interested in making believers great. It is always a sad story when you hear of great non-believers and very few great believers. Amen? But in order to reach that level of greatness, we must believe on our God. We must believe in God who raises the dead. That's what the Bible talks about Abraham. He believed in the God who raises the dead. Amen?
Amen.
The God who raises the what? Before him whom he believed, even God who raises the dead, and calls those things that are not, as though they are what? In these times, unless we learn to believe on the God who raises the dead, praise the Lord, we are going to be swallowed up in defeat and whatever. We need to understand that our God raises the dead. That God is going to reward our faith, that if we come to him, we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. Amen?
Amen?
God rewards faith. That's what the Bible says. We must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. The devil wants us only to say we believe that God is there. But we don't believe that God can reward anything. Amen? That's what the devil wants us to believe. Amen? But we must believe that God exists, but not only does he exist, he's a what? A rewarder of those who seek him diligently. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's believe on our God. Let's release our faith. Then it's going to start developing our faith. We are going to kill one giant, take on another giant. And the scripture which I told you, the path of the righteous is like a shining light, which shines brighter and what?
Brighter.
Amen. Amen? Don't be like Terah. He reached Haran and he said, for me I'm staying here. If you people are going on, go on. For me I'm staying here.
Hallelujah.
Amen? I've arrived. There's more and more and more out there. And we can do it if we believe on our God. Amen? We can change our seasons if we believe on our God, if we activate our faith, if we are fearful and we draw back, we shall stay where we are.